Friends, would you take your Bibles this morning and stand as I read from the Word of the Lord in the book of Matthew, chapter 16, beginning at verse 13. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, beginning at verse 13. Praise God. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. May God's blessings rest upon the reading and the ministry of his word. God bless you, friends. You may be seated. I am sure that most of you are very familiar with the particular scene that unfolded as our Lord uttered these memorable words. Jesus Christ had come into the coast of Caesarea Philippi. His ministry had made a tremendous impact upon the people. He looks at Simon Peter, and he says, "What are men saying about me? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they began to recite their answers that they had picked up from various sources. "And some think that you're John the Baptist," they said. "Some think that you are Elijah. Some think you're this person. Some think you're another." Jesus said, "Well, that's well and good, but who do you say that I am?" And in that moment, Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Christ, the Son of the living God." Responding to that, Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to know what tonal cues the Son of God used when he made that statement. Perhaps he said, "I will build my church." Perhaps he said, "I will build my church." Or maybe he said, "I will build my church." Or perhaps he put it, "I will build my church." Or perhaps he said, "I will build my church." So I don't know where the emphasis fell. I want us to look at them this morning. Perhaps the Son of God said, "I will build my church." Now that makes all the difference when he says, "I will build my church." I want to tell you, friends of First Assembly today, Jesus says, "I will build my church. He does not say that James D. Brown will build his church. He does not say that the Assemblies of God will build his church. He does not say that the board of directors will build his church. He does not say that any individual member will build his church. He does not say that the congregation will build his church. He says rather, I will build my church. He who is the anointed one, he who is the Son of the living God, he who has all authority in heaven and in earth said, I will build my church. He who spoke the word and the dead came to life again said, I will build my church. He that went in the tomb, but after the third day came forth triumphantly said, I will build my church. He who sits at the right hand of the majesty on high says, I will build my church. Not man, not philosophy, not creed, not doctrine, not what you do or what I do, not what you don't do and what I don't do, but thank God, back of it all, the Son of the living God says to every one of us this morning, I will build my church. God's Son alone shall do. Then the Son of God would say to you and me, I will build my church. Now that's the language of resolve. There's resolution behind that statement. I will build my church. That saying, he will build his church in spite of any opposition. That saying, he will build his church whether the devil likes it or not. That's saying that he'll build First Assembly whatever the devil may throw against us. He says, I will do it. And when the Son of God ever wills, look out. You cannot stop the sovereign will of the Son of God. He willed it and said, light be, and light was. He willed it and the heavens and the earth came into existence. He willed it and the Red Sea rolled back and the children of Israel crossed over dry shod. He willed it and men were changed by his power. He willed it and he worked out his will in the earth. He willed it and things happen at the word of his command. He wills to build his church. I will build it. Not I may build it or I might build it, but I will build it. I'm here to tell you, congregation, Jesus said he will build this church. I will do it. I want you to see the tremendous conviction behind these words of the Son of God. I will build my church. There is no force in this universe as powerful as God saying, I will. When God says, I will, things are going to have to make way. When God says, I will, somebody is going to have to move aside. When God says, I will, something is going to happen. Now, if God were in doubt about it, that would be a different story. If Jesus was saying, I may do it, I'll think about doing it, I hope to do it, that would be a different story. But that isn't what he said. He said, I will build my church. And then I want you to notice furthermore, the Son of God said, I will build my church. It's interesting, he didn't say, I will found my church. He said, I will build my church. He is the master builder. He built this universe. He built the heavens and the earth. He built you and me, if I may use the term. He, the great master builder, says, I will build my church. Upon what? He said, upon this rock I will build my church. What then is that rock upon which Jesus said his church universal and First Assembly locally he will build? That rock in the first place, ladies and gentlemen, is not Peter. If it had been Peter, he would have said, upon you I will build my church. Proper grammatical construction would have been that he said, I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon thee or you I will build my church. Furthermore, in the Greek, there's a play on words. The word Petros for Peter means a little stone. The word that he uses for rock here is Petra, which means a big stone. So even a play on words would eliminate Peter as the one upon whom he will build his church. And it's not himself upon which he said he will build his church. Once again, if he had been referring to himself, he would not have suddenly ambiguously said this rock, but he would have said, upon myself I will build my church. But that's not what he says. He does not refer to Peter grammatically, and he does not refer to himself grammatically. So it is not Peter, it is not himself upon which he will build his church. Well, will he build his church upon Peter's confession? No, he does not mean upon Peter's confession he will build his church, because that would substitute an effect for a cause. You and I don't confess and then things happen. Rather, we confess because things have happened. You see, it's just the opposite. Our confession does not bring things to pass. Our confession means things have already been brought to pass. In other words, the word confess means to say the same thing. We say the same thing that God's already said. We confess the thing that's already done. So it's not Peter's confession upon which he will build his church. And so, but he still said, I will build my church. Well then, ladies and gentlemen, if it's not upon Peter, he shall build his church. If it's not upon himself, he shall build his church. If it's not upon Peter's confession, he shall build his church. Then what is that rock upon which he shall build his church? That rock, child of God, is simply this: upon the revelation of God the Father that he is the Son of God, he said, I'm going to build a citadel that the gates of Hades shall not prevail against. I praise God for that. I'm glad that the church of Jesus Christ is not built upon something that's subjective. If it were built upon Peter being merely the rock, then what are you going to do a little later when he says to the Lord, you're not even to go to the cross? I can't have material like that, says the Son of God. But the material that will last, the material that is eternal, is that my Father shall reveal to my people that I'm the Son of the living God. I'll take that material, and out of that I'll fashion a church against which the gates of hell shall not prevail. He's a Son of God. And upon that, he's going to build First Assembly of God. That's our credentials. That's our calling card. Thank God upon the fact the Father will reveal him as a Son of the living God. He's going to build this church. Hell can't keep that from happening. The Spirit of God all over New Orleans is revealing to people that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is the substratum. That is the material which he will take to build his church. And if this church ever reaches a time when the deity of God's Son is denied in this pulpit, if this church ever tolerates doctrine in any of its ministries that denies the deity of the Son of God, this church will begin to disintegrate. But it's not the devil that can destroy this church. Only if you and I refuse to let Jesus be set forth as the Son of the living God can the enemy devastate this church. And that's the thing that's kept First Assembly of God going. It's the fact he said, I will build it, and I will build it upon the rock-like fact that I am the Son of God. Peter is not the Son of God. Peter is not perfect. Peter is sinful. But Jesus is perfect. Jesus is not sinful. He is a Son of God. So up on the fact that the Father will reveal to my people, I'm the Son of God. I'm going to build my church. You see, then it all depends then on the faithfulness of God. You say, Pastor, what about the future of First Assembly? No, that's not the right question, friend. That's not the way to put it. The real question is God faithful? Is God faithful? The question is not as to the future of First Assembly of God. The future is God faithful to reveal to men that Jesus Christ is his Son? That's the thing that determines the future of this church. And I'm happy to report God has never had a case yet of any unfaithfulness that's been reported against him. He's always been faithful to reveal to men that he is a Son of God. And I want the devil to hear this morning. I want New Orleans to hear this. I want you to hear this. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Now, the word Hades referred to the unseen. In this particular instance, it's probably referring to the portals of Hades, probably referring to the kingdom of darkness with all of the host of hell who are arrayed against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus said that won't make any difference because the gates of Hades are not going to prevail against my church. As I was studying for this message, I came across something that made me want to run through a troop and leap over a wall. I'd never seen it before. I just want to share it to you as your pastor this morning. I trust it'll take a toehold in your soul as it did in mine. Jesus said, "And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Now listen very carefully. That word prevail comes from the word katiskus, katiskein. Now, hear me carefully. There are two words for strength in the New Testament. One is the word kratos or kraton, and that means manifested strength. Strength which is actually applied. Strength that is actually used. The second word for strength in the New Testament is from the word iskus, and that's potential strength, indwelling strength, but not actually manifesting the strength. Now, I want you to see what Jesus said. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades, and he doesn't just mean, will attack it and huff and puff and I'll blow your house in and finally get exhausted. That's not it. He said, when it comes to attacking my church, the gates of Hades won't even have any strength at all. Not only is he not, he's not saying hell will attack my church, but finally hell will become tired and I'll finally beat it down. Oh no, he's saying there won't even be any strength in hell to attack my church. There won't even be any strength that hell has to attack my church. We've let the devil think that he's got all this strength and coming against the church of God. Jesus Christ said the hell itself won't even have any internal strength to even come against my church. Now then, that puts it in a different direction. That being the case, then, when he says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, that means then that hell's been put on the defense rather than the offense. So what he means is not that hell is going to come against the gates of the church of God. He doesn't mean that hell is going to come against a church but won't have the strength to prevail. But rather, what he means is the opposite, that when his church comes against hell, when his church comes up to the very door of hell, when the one who said, I am he who is alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and of death, comes against the doors of hell itself, those doors will be so weak and hell will be so innervated, it won't be able to stop the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we shall go in and the power of God shall triumph mightily. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And did you know, the Aramaic translation of this verifies that. The Aramaic puts it this way. Upon this citadel, upon this rock, I will build a citadel, and the gates of hell shall not swing outwardly against it. The gates of hell shall not swing outwardly against it. Now, you know, when big department stores have an annual sale, they announce at 9 o'clock the doors will open and there will be 1,000 women waiting to come in, every one of them wanting to be numero uno to get in there. You talk about Pickett's charge at Gettysburg. Now, when that happens, if those doors are swinging outwardly against those women, some poor woman's going to get squashed against the wall. But Jesus said, when my church comes up to the gates of hell, those gates are not going to be swinging outwardly. That would impede the progress of my church. They're going to be swinging inwardly, so that no opposition, no strength, totally emasculated, the gates of hell will permit my church to enter into the lair of hell and win a mighty victory. So Mr. Devil has it just the opposite. When it comes to First Assembly of God, it's not he's going to come against us, but he won't have the strength to whip us. Rather, it's the case we're going to come against him. And when we do, he not only has no outwardly manifested strength, he won't even have any potential strength. He will be a spiritual flat tire. And by the power of God, First Assembly of God shall triumph gloriously, not because of Pastor and Mrs. Brown, not because of the ministerial staff, not because of the leadership of the church, not because of you or anybody else, but because he said, I will build my church. 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 God help us, and God quicken us, and God gloriously continue to allow us to enter into the victory of the Lord, whose church we are, whose body we are. So on this first day in the sanctuary, as your pastor, I can think of nothing more important to tell you that it's not your church, it's not mine. It is his. But then that puts a responsibility on him. Because it is his, he said, I will build it. Hallelujah. Let's stand and thank him for that victorious promise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, this first day, our time frame may be just a little off kilter. We're not going to be overly concerned about that. We're getting adjustment to everything. But I feel led of the Lord. I want us to come into this altar. I want everybody to come down these aisles. I want us to literally flood this altar. I want us standing before God's Son today to thank him that he's going to build this church. That he's the Lord of it. That victory is ours in his name. Let everybody come. Let's flood the aisles. Let's flood this altar space. I want us to come for a great time of victory commitment to God. It's time to come with victory in our hearts. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, that's wonderful. Fill the space. Fill it completely. Fill the aisles. Let's commit our ways. Let's commit our hearts, our minds. Let's commit our all to God today. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes, my, what a tremendous sight. What a tremendous sight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Now listen, his house shall be called a house of prayer. Let's make it a house of prayer. Let's make it what he intends it to be. He said, my Father's house shall be called a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. God forbid we ever make the house of God other than what he wants it to be. God forbid that we ever profane the house of God with worldliness. God forbid that we ever profane this house with financial covetousness and great inordinate desire. God forbid that we profane this house, but let's make it what Jesus wants it to be. He said it's a house of prayer, but they made it a den of thieves. Let's make it rather what he wants it to be. Let's praise him right now. Let's worship him. If you need the baptism in the Holy Spirit, let him fill you right now. If you need healing for your body, let him heal you right now. Praise God. We're going to do a little differently today because this is our first time. But I want to tell you, God will heal you right now. Hands don't have to be laid upon you. We can get to a place of fetishism concerning that. God's presence is here right now. Let him reach out and heal you now. Be thou made whole. Be thou made whole. You that have ulcers, be thou made whole. You that have cancer, be thou made whole. In the name of the Son of the Living God. Hallelujah. You that have kidney trouble, be thou made whole. You who have backs that are painful, God heal you and touch you and make you whole right now. Be thou made whole. In the name of the Son of the Living God, be thou made whole. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God.